Well, tonight we have a very, very special occasion. We have a guest speaker tonight, and I'm really looking forward to this, and I'm also very encouraged of the training and the equipping that we get to do here together. So tonight, our young brother, Chris Gardner, is going to bring us the Lord, the Word from the Lord. From the Bible. So, if we will give him our undivided attention and pay attention. And Chris?
Let's go to morning prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you and we glorify you for this day, Lord. Lord, we ask you would please help all of us today, Lord, to hear your word, Lord. Lord, we thank you for letting all of us come tonight, Lord. And we ask that you would please keep all who are away safe, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Is the red light supposed to be on?
It comes out when you initially turn it off.
It stays on the battery slow.
Alright, I'm going to be reading out of John 15, 12 through 13. Right now. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. This dictionary of the Bible defines love as the high esteem which God has for his human children, and the high regard which they in turn should have for him and other people. First part of love I'm going to be talking about today is how the Christians should love. The Christians love toward God. We are to love God in all that we do. That means that we can't just go around and, like here, we just say, oh yes, I love the Lord, and then when we go out there into the public, act like we don't love him at all. First commandment, Matthew 22, 37 and 38. He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the greatest command. This is the greatest and first commandment. With all your heart is Matthew 22:37. And the more important than ritual is the Christian love. Mark 12:31 through 33. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Gives boldness. 1 John 4, 17 through 19. And this is love, brought to perfection among us, that we have confidence on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And so one who fears is not yet perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Second thing the Christians are to love, love toward Christ. You cannot love Christ unless you are or are going to become one of the beloved. God chooses all the beloved before he even created the world. Ephesians 1:4. As he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish before him. When we love toward Christ, it is a sign of true faith. John 8:42. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and am here. I did not come on my own, but he sent me. Our love toward Christ is manifested in obedience. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always. The Spirit of truth, which the world cannot accept because it neither sees nor knows it, but you know it because it remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live and you will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandment and observes them is the one who loves me. And whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. Judas, not the Iscariot, said to him, Master, then what happened that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. 1 Peter 1 and 2. In the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification by the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling with the blood of Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be yours in abundance. When we love Christ, it leads to service. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ impels us. Once we have come to the conviction that one died for all, therefore all have died. The next thing we are to do is the Christian love toward others. You cannot love one another unless you love Christ first. The second commandment, Matthew 22:37-39. He said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So, we are to love our neighbor just as we would love ourselves. So, if our neighbor was to die, would we really die in his place? And this is a question anyone wants to answer. Would we actually, if we actually have this love, would we die for someone else? The love toward others commanded by Christ. John 13:34. I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. So you also should love one another. Described in detail. 1 Corinthians 13:1-13. If I speak in human and angelic tongues, but do not have love, I am a resounding gong or a clashing cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and comprehend all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away everything I own, and if I hand my body over so that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, it is not jealous, it is not pompous, it is not inflated, it is not rude, it does not seek its own interest, it is not quick-tempered, it does not brood over injury, it does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. If there are prophecies, they will be brought to nothing. If tongues, they will cease. If knowledge, it will be brought to nothing. For we know partially, and we prophesy partially. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I used to talk as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. When I became a man, I put aside childish things. At present, we see indistinctly as in a mirror, but then face to face. At present, I know partially. Then I shall know fully, as I am fully known. So faith, hope, love remain these three, but the greatest of these is love. Next, I'm going to talk about the love of Christ. John 3:16. We think of it as so easy to memorize. We don't really think about it, but it really is one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. The love of Christ is objects of. Christ loved all, even those who are in heaven. He proves that to us by dying, and then once he died, when he rose again, there was no more Hades. The Father is one of the objects. John 14:31. But the world must know that I love the Father, and that I do just as the Father has commanded me. Get up, let us go. Believe objects of and believers. Galatians 2:20. Yet I live no longer I, but Christ lives in me. In so far as I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who has loved me and given himself up for me. The church, Ephesians 5:2-25. And live in love as Christ loved us and handed himself over for us as a sacrificial offering to God for a fragrant aroma. And 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and handed himself over for her. And this doesn't mean just for all the husbands. It means for us young men. If we are planning on getting married or anything, we are to love other Christians as Christ did and die for one another. These scriptures don't even scratch the surface of Christ's love that is described. Another thing is knowing, Ephesians 3:19, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all fullness of God. And I think that is really powerful, because it is saying that we will be filled with the fullness of God's love. We will feel all of it pour down on us. Conquering. Romans 8:35-37. What will separate us from the love of Christ? Will anguish or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being slain all the day. We are looked upon as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we conquer overwhelmingly through him who loved us. We are to imitate Christ's love for us. John 14:21. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me, and whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. Imitative, 1 John 3:16. The way we came to know love was that he laid down his life for us, so we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Christ's love is like the Father's. John 15:9-13. As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this, so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. The expresses of Christ's love. Christ expresses his love by dying on the cross for all the sins of the world, meaning not just the people who believe in him. He died for all of them to be forgiven if he wanted them to come to know him, if the Father willed it. In taking our nature, Hebrews 2:16 through 18. Surely he did not help angels, but rather the descendants of Abraham. Therefore he had to become like his brothers in every way, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest before God to expiate the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested through what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. And that just encourages me that I can call on Christ whenever I need help, no matter what the circumstance is. Next, I'm going to talk about the love of God. Objects of God. God's love reflects on all. And I say that because we're all right here on this earth right now living, and he sent his son to die so that he wouldn't have to unleash his full wrath on us. One of the objects is Christ, John 3:35. The Father loves the Son and has given everything over to him. Christians, 2 Thessalonians 2:16. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting encouragement and good hope through his grace. Mankind, Titus 3:4 through 7. But when the kindness and generous love of God our Savior appeared, not because of any righteous deed we had done, but because of his mercy, he saved us through the bath of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he richly poured out on us through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that we might be justified by his grace and become heirs in hope of eternal life. A cheerful giver, 2 Corinthians 9:7. As is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. God's love described as, and again, this doesn't even scratch the surface of God's love. It is great, Ephesians 2:4 through 7. But God, who is rich in mercy because of the great love he had for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, brought us to life with Christ. By grace you have been saved, raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. God's love is everlasting. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord appears to him from afar. With age-old love I have loved you, so I have kept my mercy toward you. God's love is sacrificial, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our heart through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For Christ, while we were still helpless, yet died at the appointed time for the ungodly. Indeed, only the difficulty does one die for a just person, though perhaps for a good person one might even find courage to die. But God proves His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that really shows the greatness of God. God's love as seen in the believers. Do we as believers show our love just as God shows His? Is it evident in our lives? And I really mean it. Do we go out with the people that we work with, the people that we go to school with our families? Do we show God's love? Is it really in us? Because if we are true Christians, then God's love will show through us. First John 4:17-16. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is of God. Everyone who loves is begotten by God and knows God. Whoever is without love does not know God, for God is love. In this way, the love of God was revealed to us. God sent His only Son into the world so that we might have life through Him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He has loved us and sent His Son as expiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also must love one another. No one has ever seen God, yet if we love one another, God remains in us, and His love is brought to perfection in us. This is how we know that we remain in Him, and He in us, that He has given us of His Spirit. Moreover, we have seen and testify that the Father sent His Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in Him, and He in God. We have come to know and to believe in the love God has for us. God is love, and whoever remains in love remains in God, and God in Him. I'd like to go back to one of these verses. It's verse 14. Moreover, we have seen and testify that the Father sent His Son as Savior of the world. And I'd like to turn to Matthew 28:16-20. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So, going back to verse 14 in 1 John, we have seen and testified that the Father sent His Son as a Savior of the world. But that doesn't just mean that He died for us and we were all saved. It also means that once He died and saved us all, that He was, all power was granted to Him in heaven. And this is the question I was pondering for a while, is did Christ not have all that power before He came down to the earth? And the answer is, I guess no, because if He was in the Trinity, then they would all they all have the same amount of power and everything. That's what I got out of it. God's love is security. 2 Thessalonians 3:5. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the endurance of Christ. Daily life. 1 John 2:15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, sensual lust, enticement for the eyes, and pretentious life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. Yet the world and its enticement are passing away, but whoever does the will of God remains forever. If anyone would like to say anything or cut in, they can. Obedience. 1 John 2:5 and 6. But whoever keeps his word, the love of God is truly perfected in him. This is the way we may know that we are in union with him. Whoever claims to abide in him ought to live just as he lived. Which I would say that I really don't live as I really should with being a Christian, and I'm really trying to ask for help with that, with my family and with the elders and with everyone here at the church. I ask you to please keep me accountable. God's love is without fear. 1 John 14:17 through 19. And this is love, brought to perfection among us, that we have confidence on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment, and so one who fears is not yet perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. And this really shines a light on that. We cannot love. We cannot have true biblical love unless we love Christ and unless we are of Christ. So we may think that, oh sure, the world should love us because, you know, they're being all nice to us. But really, sometimes it can just be that they're scared of us, or they just don't want us around and they're being kind and think that we'll go away or something. I know it's happened to me many times at school. God's love and glorification. 1 John 3:1 and 2. See what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called the children of God. Yet so we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. We do know that when it is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And back to our text in John 15, 12 through 13. Let us really try to abide by this commandment. Let us go forth, and when we leave here today, just love one another and love everyone and try to bring them closer to Christ, if it is his will. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. So I know that I may die for some, but I don't think I could ever die for a sinner. I really don't know that. And I'm encouraged by what Christ did every day to try to help those who are lost in religion, who don't believe in anything, and some who think that Hell is actually going to be one of the best places ever. It's going to be a huge wild party. That's it.
Hey, I think one of the things we need to think about, too, is that Christ's love for us, and therefore, since we're to love as Christ, our love for others, was in laying down his life on the cross, but also he spent 3 years with the disciples. And that's spoken to me a lot, you know, in this, you know, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. I don't think that's just talking about dying for somebody, because I truly believe at this point that I would be willing to die for a sinner. Now, to live for him and to spend years with that person, that would be hard. And so laying down your life, in that not only are you just like giving up your life to where you're dying, but laying down your entire life for your friends. Laying down, you know, okay, here it is, my whole life. And I think, you know, that's one thing we need to do too, is that we need to make sure that, you know, we should, yes, definitely be willing to die for each other, but we need to be willing to live for each other.
And also, like what you said, it's not just dying, it's Christ suffered being here with sinners. That's how I look at it, that he suffered having to die by sinners. They killed him. And he did love them, and that's why he died for us.
Praise be to God. We thank you, Chris. You know, when I was 13, I would have never have done that. So I am encouraged, and I praise God for you. So thank you, and keep on, press on. And what an encouragement that was for us, and goes right along with what we've been learning here, right? As we've been reading through 1 John, John has encouraged us and commanded us over and over to love, much more so than he has been warning us about false prophets and false teachers. He's telling us, look, if you claim to be a Christian, you claim to have love, but then you hate your brothers, you don't know Christ. You are in darkness until now. Okay, so like Chris said, if you are truly a Christian, you love, because he died for us and has made us a new person, given us a new nature, and that nature loves. Right? We don't have this love. We can't conjure it up on our own. Right? And when did Christ die for us? When we were sinners. While we were shaking our fists. Right? While we were dead. While we had no hope. And we were without Christ in this world. When we were lost. When we were children of wrath, just as the others. God showed us His love by sending us His Son, His only begotten Son, to die for you and I, sinners. And what love it is. Right? In fact, let's just read 1 John 4. What if, you guys remember what I encouraged you to do last week? Anyone remember? Hopefully. Yes, okay. Always to be students of the Word, right? But if we're going through a book of the Bible, and we know what verses are coming up, we should be studying those verses ahead of time, right? How do you know that I'm not going to come up here and teach something loony, right? You all have to be students of the Word. So if you hear me say something that's not right, you can come to me in love. Just don't hit me too hard. Bible, okay? But this goes right along with what Chris taught us tonight, okay? 1 John chapter 4, starting verse 7. Beloved, term of affection here, okay? Let us love one another. Why? For love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Remember that word know. Okay? It's not just know about God, but knows God, has the relationship with God. Okay? Verse 8. He who does not know God, in other words, does not truly have a relationship with Him, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, or in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. When it says there, if you remember from last week, this was the love of God that was manifested, revealed towards us, or in us. In our case, we were lost, dead, blind. Okay, so it was revealed to us. How? By God sending us His Son to die for us. Because our case was helpless, hopeless. Our case was destruction, right? But God showed us His love and redeemed us by sending us His Son to die for you and I, sinners. Okay, and then why? Let's go on reading. Send His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. See, there is no life outside of Christ. There's no life in a dead world. You're not going to find it. I'm not going to find it. But only in Christ do we live. Greater is He in me than in the world. What's that talking about? Only in Christ can I understand and know who the false prophets and teachers are. And greater is He in me than them, than those false teachers. Right? And if we're truly students, and if God lives in us, if we know Him, then we know the false teachers. Because they speak that is contrary to this precious word. And we live through Him. So next week, Lord willing, we'll be on verse 10 and maybe 11. We'll see. Let's read them real quick. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And I can't wait to get on that. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So Chris, thank you so much. And guys, if we know God, we love. And part of that dying for each other, not just to physically lay down your life, but spiritually dying for each other, right? What is Philippians 2 all about? Let's turn there one more time and read it. And this is how we die for one another, okay? Doesn't always mean physically. Now, if that opportunity comes and we physically have to lay down our lives for one another, so be it, okay? But spiritually speaking also. And here's an example. So Philippians chapter 2. Hopefully, you know, the wheels are in motion here and we'll understand it, okay? Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. That is dying for each other. That I perceive my brother better than myself. That I prefer my brother before myself. Okay, let's continue on. Verse 4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. That is dying for one another. To look out for each other's interests. Right? Look around, guys. We need to be looking out for each other's interests. That is dying for your brother. Verse 5. Let this mind, the NIV says, let this have this attitude. So let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God. See, Christ, which he never would have done, this is just hypothetical. You know, he could have come and said, hey, I am God. Serve me. But, of course, he would not even remotely possible. Okay? What did he do? Here is God Almighty in the flesh coming to serve. And that's why he says, Paul says, have this mind. Let this be your mindset, your attitude. Christ, who came in the form of God, did not take that as something to be granted. But what did he do? Let's read. But humbled himself, made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Memorize those verses. Amen. So again, Chris, thank you very much. And I hope we're all, I'm very encouraged, so thank you. What encouragement we have from our brothers. And we ought to be loving each other just as Christ has loved us. Amen? Let's pray. Our Father, our God, our Lord, our Master, we thank you so much. Father, we cherish your holy word. Father, may it cause in us obedience. May your word convict us. May it mold us and shape us into Christ's glorious image. May we live lives of love because you have loved us, because you have made us new. You have made us alive. When we were hopeless, when we were dead, you gave us life. You loved us. You made us alive. And in that, we praise you. And we thank you, Lord. May we truly love one another. May we look out for not only our own interests, but the interests of our brothers and sisters. May we prefer them first, Lord. Lord, I thank you for my family here that you have blessed me with. What an encouragement they are, Lord. And I'm so thankful that we get to come here together on Friday nights and go through your holy word, that we can learn and grow together. Father, may we have this love, a love that only comes from you. And let us pour it out on each other. Let us have this deep, sincere love for one another because we know you. Because you dwell in us. We thank you so much, Father. It's in Jesus' precious name that we were able to pray.